الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. Those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on servant, or servant of Allah. And so how do I address that so you all be able to understand the Islamic perspective pertaining to a servant of Allah? And so I'm going to read one verse from Quran, from chapter 28. And so you all can follow along with me if you like. Here we go. And it says in this particular chapter, for whom we treat it, who we treat those who have attained to faith and do righteous deeds in the same manner as we shall treat those who spread corruption on earth? Will we treat the God conscious in the same manner as the wicked? So in this very brief, I didn't say the particular number of this particular verse. I want you to read for yourself chapter 28, and I think it's called Sad, S-A-D. And so you can read and you come up across this particular verse on your own. Because a lot of you are advanced students, you've been around a while, I've been doing this for a while, and so you can go ahead and read that particular chapter, and maybe you come across, or you will come across, the particular verse that I'm talking about, in reference to, for, would we treat those who have attained to faith and do righteous deeds the same manner as we shall treat those who spread corruption on earth? So, and the rest of it is, will we treat the God conscious in the same manner as the wicked? So you make the distinction between those who are God conscious, the servants of Allah, and those who are the wicked ones, the ones who are not God conscious, should be treated the same. The ones that sit at home and do nothing and don't struggle in the cause of Allah, should they receive the same blessing? And those who serve Allah, should they receive the same blessing as the ones who are out there striving and serving Allah? So I wanted you to see for yourself, which one are you? Are you the patient, the one that sit at home? Are you the one who is a servant of Allah and doing the things you're supposed to do in reference to what Islam instructs you to do? And now for those of you who are new students for the class, each class do not have a prerequisite. In other words, you have to listen to the class before it in order to understand the particular class. It's pretty basic class. Some things might be a little bit advanced, but pretty much everyone could follow along, no matter how, whatever level you are in terms of your study of Islam. The only thing I ask you to do is that to please, whatever your belief or understanding about Islam, to put it on a shelf before you attend class. Because if you have what you think Islam is or is not in your head, you will not hear what I have to say. After I finish, after class is over, only 30 minutes or so, you can go back to the shelf and take it off the shelf wherever your beliefs are. And want to, you can throw what I say against the wall if you like. That'll be up to you. Ignore totally what I said. That's totally up to you. But understand this. Allah asked me on the day of judgment that I say so and so about this particular topic in Islam, and you were present and you heard, and the angels know you were there. I'm gonna say, yes, Allah, I did say so and so was the good servant and the bad servant of you, of Allah. And the angels know if you attended or not. I can't see you. I don't know who's here and who's not here, or who's listening, who's not listening. I don't know that. But I do know what I'm telling you. You can find all of this, this truth of this, all of it all, in the Quran, in the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him. Rarely do anything come straight from me. Or you can go to the various masajids, that's the plural for masjid, M-A-S-J-I-D, and talk to the imam there, or leadership there, or the scholars there, and they will be able to talk to you and explain more of this topic that I'm talking about right now, or any topic I talked about in the past, where it talks about, and I'm talking about today, which is the servant. Now, the servant of Allah. Who is the servant of Allah? What does the servant of Allah, what do he or she do? Okay? And so let's move on. Now, what happens to the servant of Allah on a day of judgment? Yawm al-Din, the day of resurrection, when Allah would bring us all up from the grave, like we just woke up from a long sleep, and answer the question, who just woke us up? Who did this? And it's the day of judgment. Right now, a lot of people are in their graves, they're asleep, and they're waiting for the day of judgment to come. We haven't died yet, but once we died, we're going to be inside of our grave, wherever we receive in our grave, a good or bad within our grave, punishment or not punishment in our grave, and then we're going to be a day where Allah is going to raise us up, and we're going to be judged. Whatever we did, good or bad, we're going to be judged accordingly. And then everything going to be placed on ala mizan. It's going to be placed on our scale, sort of like you look at a scale inside wherever you go shopping or whatever. Like say, for example, on one side you have your bad deeds, and then the other side you have your good deeds. And then if your bad deeds outweigh your good deeds, you go to Jahannam, you go to hellfire. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you go to the paradise. And I talk about both of those topics in previous episodes. Now let's move on. Now we're talking about what happens to a person on the day of judgment. The Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, said, a servant of Allah will remain standing on the day of judgment till he is questioned about his age and how he spent it, about his knowledge and how he utilized it, about his wealth and from where he acquired it, and what activities he spent it, and about his body and how he used to use it. So you'll be questioned about, okay, I gave you youth, what do you do with your youth? I gave you money, what do you do with your money? What activities? I gave you knowledge, what do you do with the knowledge that I allow you to get? And your body, what do you do with your body, your physical body? Do you go around harming people, or you went around helping people? And so on the day of judgment, we will be questioned, all of us. But the servant of Allah, the one who believes in Allah, will already be presented to him by the angels, and because they write down the good deeds and the bad deeds and present it. Okay, this man did this, or this woman did this or that, whatever good thing they done. Okay, they go on a good side of the scale. Okay, any bad they done, it'll go on the bad side of the scale. And Allah is very just. If you have an Adam's weight or mustard seed of good, than to be placed on your scale. An atom's weight or a mustard seed or bad, it'll also be placed on your scale. And I held the those, maybe some of you don't know this, farming or whatever, agriculture. I held a mustard seed in my hand, really on the tip of my finger before. It is very, very small. Very small. Almost need a microscope in order to see it. And if it dropped on the floor, then it's going to be very difficult to find because it's just so small. We're talking about even something that small will be, that good that we've done or bad that we've done, will be placed on the scale on the day of judgment. It will add to the weight on our scale on the day of judgment. Now, what is a bad servant? And a bad servant is, he is a bad servant who is, and I want you all to write this down. Take notes. He is a bad servant who is proud and puts on airs and forgets the Most High and the Sublime One, meaning forget Allah. He is a bad servant who is overbearing and overweening and forgets the overpowering and Most High One. He is a bad servant who is neglectful and careless and forgetful and forgets the graves and corruptions. He is a bad servant who is corrupt and excessively disobedient and forgets the beginning and the end. He is a bad servant who deceptively uses religion. He is a bad servant who is like by greed, loves greed. He is a bad servant who is misled by passion. You let your passion get the best of you. He is a bad servant who is debased by worldly desire. So I hope you took down or noted down what I said about a bad servant, about the bad servant and being prideful and carrying like these airs about them and being overbearing and a bad servant and neglectful and careless. Also, the person is corrupt and excessively disobedient and forgetting about the beginning and the end. Of course, there's a person who is deceptive in the religion, and a person that is greedy and also is misled by their passion and is debased by worldly desires. So I'll write that down. This is an episode before that. Those are the criteria of a person being a bad servant. Those are the attributes of a person being a bad servant. And I pray to Allah that none of my listeners, none of my students are considered a bad student. That you look at the list and you say, you know what? I'm all these things, or I'm some of these things. And the beautiful thing about it is that you had the opportunity to change. If you are any of those things I just listed as a bad servant, and you still have breath in your body, that you can change. Ask Allah to help you change, and then you start working on the change, like right now. Don't wait till tomorrow or next week and say, I'm going to do it later, 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 later. And maybe later never comes. You may not even live to see later. And so you don't want to be a bad servant. You want to strive to be a good servant. So let's move on. Now, your type of servants that Allah loves. It was narrated by Abu Huraira, who was one of the companions of the Prophet, may peace and blessed upon him. And he said, when a man prays publicly in a good manner and prays secretly in a good manner, Allah Most High says, this is my servant indeed. Praying in a good manner publicly, quietly or secretly, and Allah looks at you and says, This is my servant indeed. Because we're doing it for the pleasure of Allah. We're not doing it to be seen by anyone else or to please other people. We're doing it strictly for the pleasure of Allah. Now, what happens to a person who is a good servant? And you may feel like, I'm not a good servant. That doesn't mean you can't be a good servant. And say, I am a good servant. You want to even be a better servant. And better your chances of pleasing Allah and getting to paradise, where you're going to live in paradise forever. You're going to be around 35, 30-something years old, and you're going to be in paradise forever. Never leaving it. You never die in paradise, because Allah slaughters death. Death comes to death. So let's move on. It was narrated by Abu Dharr, again one of the Prophet's companion, and he said, Allah's apostle, may peace and blessings be upon him, went out in the winter when the leaves were falling. He took hold of two twigs of a tree and said, that is a twig, the leaves of which have fallen. He said, Abu Dharr. And Abu Dharr said, Labaik. He said, I'm here, O Allah's messenger. He said, and the Prophet said, verily, when a believing servant of Allah observes the prayers when he observes the prayers seeking only Allah's, only his pleasure, Allah's pleasure, his sins fall for him just as the leaves have fallen from the tree. So for those of you who live in areas where leaves fall from the tree or twigs fall, when one makes their prayer sincerely only for the pleasure of Allah, his or her sins fall off them like the trees, like the leaves from the tree. So when that time of year comes and you see leaves on the ground, think about what I just said. And look at it as all these leaves, this is from me. All these leaves are like sins from a person. And if you make your prayer for the pleasure of Allah, that the sins just fall off you like those leaves on the ground. Also, we're talking about pleasing Allah. That's what a servant does. I want to kind of mold people and to understand the servant of Allah. This is what he or she looks like. And these are the things that they do. Of course, there's more to it. I'm only naming some of the things. I can't name all the things. I don't have time like that. And so it's mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when a servant seeks to please Allah and continues to do so, then Allah, who is great and glorious, says to Jibril, meaning the angel Jibril, my servant so-and-so seeks to please me. Therefore, my mercy has descended on him. Jibril says, Allah's mercy has descended on so-and-so and the bearers of the throne, and those who are around them say it until the inhabitants of the seven heavens say it, after which it comes down to him on earth. What a beautiful thing. Allah is on his throne and he says this to, then Jibril hears it, and then the angels are those who hold up Allah's throne. They also say it. Then it's though everything on the seven heavens says it until it comes to earth. And it comes down to the basic, comes down to the individual, that Allah sees you and know that you are doing things for his cause, knowing that you are a good servant, knowing that you are pleasing Allah. You're not trying to please mankind, because you know what? It's going to be challenging to please mankind. And sometimes mankind cannot be pleased. You may do one thing, and then man wants you to do another thing. And you do that thing, then they want you to do another thing. And you do that thing, then they want you to do another thing. Kether. You all understand what I'm saying. And so, work on pleasing Allah, not mankind. You want to please mankind, and then on the day of judgment, you're going to look to that person you used to worship and depend on for your reward. And Allah may say, well, go to so-and-so and get your reward on this day. Don't come to me. That's the one that you depend on. Go to so-and-so and get whatever award that you think you deserve to get. And so, my beautiful students, I want you to understand that do things for the cause of Allah. We want the reward from Allah. When we stand before Allah naked, uncircumcised, is that we want Him to judge us in the best manner and forgive us for any of our shortcomings. And that when we are standing before Him and we're sweating up to our ankles, up to our knees, up to our waist, up to our chest, up to our eyes, when we're sweating because we don't know what's going to happen to us, only Allah knows. So we do as much as we can on earth to please Allah, as much as we can. And in pleasing Allah, that it come to your rescue on the day of judgment. That these things that you're doing to the pleasure of Allah and only for the pleasure of Allah, that they have come to your rescue and jump on that scale and outweigh your bad deeds and boost you into paradise. You're bearing witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and the servant of Allah and the final messenger, Akhir. That He's the final messenger, and you believe in Him, solely believe in the messenger, and believe in Allah. Follow the messenger to Allah and do what Allah tells you to do, and stay away from those things Allah tells you not to do, because you want to be mentioned by Allah. That He mentioned about so and so, when my servant seeks to please Allah and continue to do so, then Allah, who is great and glorious, says to Jibril, my servant so-and-so, may Allah say your name, my servant so-and-so, cease to please me. Therefore, my mercy has descended on him. Jibril says, Allah's mercy has descended on so-and-so, and the bearers of the throne, and those who are around them, say it until the inhabitants of the seven heavens say it, after which it comes down to him on earth. Let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is, who Allah pardons? Who is pardoned by Allah? It was related by Abu Huraira. Prophet, may peace and blessings upon him, says, the gates of paradise are not open but on 2 days, Monday and Thursday. And then every servant of Allah is granted pardon who does not associate anything with Allah, except the person whose heart there is rancor, meaning just badness in their heart against their brother. But it would be said, look towards both of them until there is a reconciliation. Look towards both of them until there is reconciliation. Look towards both of them until there is reconciliation. And so basically saying that if I have a thing between myself and my brother, I pray Allah I never have that. And I'm mad at him, he's mad at me, and we got this thing between us, and then Allah won't even like look at us. And said, until those two people have reconciliation, I don't even want to see them. I don't want to be that person, and nor do I want you to be that person. Where Allah say, I don't want to have anything to do with those people. Because why? Because they have a thing between them. So how do we draw close to Allah? It was narrated again by Abu Huraira. Allah's prophet, may peace and blessings upon him, said that Allah thus stated, when my servant draws close to me by a handspan of a palm, I draw close to him by the handspan of a cubit. And when he draws close to me by the space of a cubit, I draw close to him by the space covered by two hands. And when he draws close to me by the space covered by two hands, I go in hurry towards him. I walk towards Allah Allah runs towards me. His servant. Allah is there for me. He said, ask me. You want help? See, help for me. And so we get close to Allah, Qareeb Allah, and Allah gets closer to us. And we all had to work on getting close to Allah, doing those things that Allah pleases Allah. Not things that displease Allah, because that would take us away from Allah. Praying to Allah, depending on Allah, doing things that pleases Allah, that help us to get close to Allah, making dua. I mean, that's D-U-A, making supplication to Allah and ask Allah to give us what we want, what we need, and what we desire. Glorifying Allah, prayers upon the Prophet. And some of the best time to pray to Allah is when a person is traveling. And for the Muslim, when we have a head on the ground, when it's raining or snowing, whatever, outside, inclement weather. When you're fasting or breaking your fast, these are excellent times. These other times too. Excellent times where the person can pray to Allah, and Allah accepting his prayers is stronger. Or a person who is oppressed. So be careful, those who are oppressors. You're oppressing a person, you're hurting the person, you thinking, oh, I'm getting all this, I'm a big man, a big woman now, because I'm so hard on other people. You're an oppressor. And a person is being oppressed, and they pray to Allah, is strong that their dua, their supplication may come through, and they may be praying against you, that Allah bring pain or whatever upon you who are oppressing them. They won't get any relief from you, so they gotta ask Allah Ta'ala for the relief that they need, for the help that they need. Because you're not giving it to them. You're doing everything you can to hurt the people. Take it from them. You're greedy. You beat them up. You hurt them. You encourage others to do things, to do bad things to people. You're an oppressor. And so those people who are being oppressed, then you keep making dua and sabr and having patience with Allah. Because Allah with those who are patient, and Allah hears you. The ones who are being oppressed and is strong, that Allah will answer your prayers. Now let me talk about also rewards for helping others. Abu Huraira also said, the Apostle, may peace and blessing upon him, said, he who alleviates the suffering of a brother from the effect of affliction of the world, Allah will alleviate his affliction from the suffering on the day of resurrection. Who finds relief from one who is hard pressed, Allah will make things easy for him in the hereafter. And he who conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in the world and in the hereafter. Allah is at the back of a servant so long as the servant is at the back of his brother. And so I won't read this whole thing because we're running out of time. It's a little more lengthy. But please, my beautiful students, look after the back of others. Take care of others. Conceal the faults of others. If someone is being inflicted upon something in a bad way or being hurt, then you help that person. Uplift that person. Don't just watch the person suffer. For those who have the ability to take away the suffering of others, then do so. What are you waiting for? Don't get all happy because, I'm suffering. It's like Pharaoh, he said, you know, I'm like God. Look, I got two people here, and I'm going to say one die and the other one live. And so he thinks that's God-like. But he's not that, and he was not that. And he's going to suffer accordingly because in his mind, that's what he thought he was. And so we can't think the same thing, that we are harsh towards the people and hard on the people and make the people do what we tell them to do, and we're happy and we're satisfied. So please be careful. You want to always be a good servant, a good servant of Allah and not be on the wrong side and do things that's going to please Allah. But to find out, and I have to end this now, and I really hate to end this, but to find out and to learn more about the Islamic faith and focus, or Islamic faith, you can increase your knowledge of Islam, but you can go to whyislam.org, to International Online University, and learn more about Islam. They have certificates and other ways that you can really enhance your knowledge of Islam. And also American Open University, another beautiful place where you can learn more about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.